This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. A bombshell twist. After midnight screams pierce the air, a gorgeous young fashion designer found dead on a Hamptons yacht. This as bizarre details emerge about the yacht owner who runs around the dock naked that night. Now we are learning, I said bizarre and I meant it, that he has a biting problem and a previous biting attack. This as sick and perverted cancer rumors swirl. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. Nothing good happens after midnight.
This woman was found unresponsive.
Her dream was to, quote, make it in New York.
A woman that got herself out of a small town, rags to riches story.
She's dead on a yacht. I hardly know where to start. First of all, the millionaire owner of not one but two yachts who's running naked around the Hamptons dock that night, the night that Martha, this gorgeous young fashion designer, is found dead on his yacht, and his biting attack history, these cancer rumors swirling that Martha, this young fashion designer, let me see a picture of Martha. That this girl was dying of brain cancer? Really? Oh, is somebody going to try and tell me that she suddenly dies, just falls over, kills over dead from brain cancer? Her family saying she didn't have any kind of cancer. She was perfectly healthy. I'd like to know who started that rumor and why. Do they really think we all just fell off the turnip truck? That she just killed over this beautiful young girl from brain cancer? Just like that? I'm not buying it. So where do we start? And there's so much more. An elite task force has been called in. It ain't over yet. So where do you start when you don't know where to start? At the beginning. Listen.
The night of her death, Martha was aboard Ripple, a 50-foot cabin cruiser, at the Montauk Yacht Club to meet with an East by East investor, Christopher Dernan. Nolan told boyfriend Nick DeRubio she planned to Uber home and arrive before 1 a.m. Dernan, who owns Dernan Group Insurance, screamed for help, completely nude, throwing items at other boats, including a tube of sunscreen. Just after midnight, the calm over the serene Montauk Yacht Club is shattered by the sounds of a scream. Passersby rush to a boat in the marina where a man is standing over an unconscious woman. Soon, the marina is filled with the sound of sirens, but the woman isn't rushed to the hospital. First responders declare the woman dead on the scene.
And someone actually wants me to buy the story that she killed over. This woman, the picture of health from brain cancer, her family stunned by that allegation, joining me an all-star panel to make sense of what we learn right now. I'm dying to go to Lauren Conlon, but first, I've got to go to renowned psychoanalyst Dr. Bethany Marshall, joining us from L.A., specifically Rodeo Drive, a.k.a. Rodeo. You can see her now on Peacock, author of Deal Breakers, and she is at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, this whole picture, it just gives just the ick factor, the skeeve, the something is very wrong. I'm not believing anything anybody's telling me right now. If this were so open and shut, why has an elite task force been brought in? But now I'm learning this rich guy in his 60s, is running around naked. Why does he have this gorgeous young girl on his boat? Okay, there he is, known for wandering about playing his guitar. Their words, not mine. I don't care. I don't care what he does until he's found standing over a dead body. Then it's my business. Just the whole picture is wrong, Dr. Bethany.
Nancy, there's so much wrong with this story. Not only is he running around naked, throwing tubes of sunscreen at other boats, but he's screaming, "She's my girlfriend." She's not his girlfriend. If he's wandering around naked, strumming the guitar, this guy has a huge overestimation of himself. Didn't he invest about $200,000 into her clothing business? This sounds to me like a guy who is grossly overestimating his importance to this young woman, placing himself front and center in her life, taking his clothes off on a boat. Ooh, not only does he have one boat, he has two boats side by side. Isn't the other boat called Hell in a Bucket or something like that? This is more like Hell in a Handbasket.
Dr. Bethany, so, I'm so glad you brought that up. Number one, boating aficionados, yacht aficionados would be angry that we call them boats, okay? I learned that a long time ago. All of his yachts are named after or in homage to the Grateful Dead. Not judging, don't care. But that's where these names are coming from. To Lauren Conlon joining me, following up on what Dr. Bethany Marshall said, Lauren Conlon, investigative reporter, star of Pop Crime TV on YouTube. Lauren, isn't that right? I'm going to get into all the new facts in just a moment, but wasn't this guy up in his 60s, I wonder where he got all that money. I know he owns the Dernan Group Insurance. But
correct.
Why is he calling her his girlfriend? Why is he naked and she is completely clothed at midnight? She's already told her boyfriend, "Hey, I'm on the way home. I've got to drive all the way back into the city from out here, but I will be home before 1 a.m. And now she never gets on the Uber. I mean, everything is just wrong. Her story and what we're learning about him does not jive. Why is he running around saying she's his girlfriend?
I think this is the big question, Nancy. I believe that that is wishful thinking on Christopher Dernan's part. As Bethany said, he did invest $200,000 into her business. I have questions about that. Did he believe in the business? I mean, she is a beautiful woman, as you stated, and the whole biting assault incident in 2021, that resulted in an arrest and also a pretty hefty civil suit against Chris Dernan, which goes back to me thinking that he's got this type of...
I love
of-
the way you said that, Lauren Conlon. The biting incident. The incident. When a grown man bites another grown man... I mean, yeah. Dr. Bethany Marshall, we need a shrink. I haven't even gotten into all the facts right now. But biting, that's a whole nother can of worms. I'm going to get to the biting incident. This guy who owns the Dernan Group Insurance Company, naked, running around, claiming she's his girlfriend. Why is he not doing CPR? But that aside... What do you make of that?
Well, biting is a sign of primitive rage. And when I say primitive rage and aggression, I mean, it comes from a very infantile, childlike place. In other words, this guy is not functioning in a manner that his prefrontal cortex, or let's say the braking system in the brain, is working very well. It appears he has no braking system in his brain. What's interesting is that the man that he bit was a first responder, a beloved member of society, somebody who risked his life to help the public. And this insurance guy bites him?
This guy has not been charged with anything that I know of since his biting attack on a first responder. But who is he? Listen.
Dernan, who owns a workers' comp insurance company, is well known at the Montauk Yacht Company for guitar playing, usually mooring 22-year-old Ripple next to second vessel Hell in a Bucket. Dernan invested at least $200,000 in Martha Nolan's latest fashion brand, East by East.
Dernan does have a criminal history, arrested on charges including possession of a controlled substance and assault after biting firefighter Michael Balf. Dernan pleaded to disorderly conduct and spent no time behind bars.
Okay, let's do a quick compare. That's who the owner of the Ripple and the Hell in a Bucket yacht is. okay? A rich guy with two yachts that bites people. Who is the victim?
Hi, I'm Martha, the founder, CEO, creative director, you name it, of East by East. We are launching a resort wear line soon. We just got our first round of samples back, and I wanted to share some first looks with you and see what you think. We got another crochet. This is floor length. You can see the beading, the details. It's absolutely stunning on. I tried it on. I think this will be my bestseller.
Living her best life, posting pictures with friends on private jets, helicopters, and yachts, Martha is becoming a legend as the founder of fashion label East by East.
Okay, that gives me an idea about her, Martha Nolan, a Slattery. She came from a very small town. She worked her fingers to the bone to create a fashion design business. I thought it was hard being a minority in law school, hardly any women, much less trying to get into the courtroom and be a felony prosecutor as a woman. But breaking into the fashion designer business in New York City for a small town girl, but she did it. And you know, another thing that's really interesting, which I really resent, Dr. Bethany Marshall, people throwing stones at this girl because she tried to project a certain image on Insta, Facebook, TikTok, all social media, that she was successful. You've had to deal with a realtor, right? They always pull up in like a gorgeous Mercedes or BMW. It's perfectly clean. It smells really good. And they're perfect. And they have designer jewelry on. It's probably all leased and borrowed, whatever, to project a successful image, because then you, the customer, thinks, wow, she must really be good at this because she obviously is doing well, which means she's had a lot of other clients. I really resent people attacking Martha because of the image she tried to project of success. How do you think she got that $200,000 investment?
Right, Nancy, you know what? It's just called marketing. She's being a smart young woman. Do you know how difficult it is to start a clothing business? It requires so much money. You have to be willing to work, to schmooze, to make friends. And that piece that she's showing is absolutely gorgeous. That crocheted cover up, I think it is. So why is this more suspicious than an old guy who has two yachts at the Montauk Yacht Club side by side? Like, why is the man sort of off the hook for displaying wealth, but she's being looked down on because she's trying to promote herself and a healthy business model? I mean, I think you were really, at the end of the day, Nancy, it's just blaming the victim and blaming women for wanting to get ahead.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
This woman, so incredibly talented. And you know, just the other day, Dr. Bethany, a very dear friend of mine who's a preschool mates, friends of the twins, that's how I met her, has a daughter. And she doesn't like school. She doesn't like reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I'm like, you know what, you got to get her into college so she has, you know, a path in the future. The mom showed me her designer portfolio. I nearly fell over. It was amazing. Granted, I'm not a fashion maven, but the originality, the beauty, the crafting, I mean, it's an art and you have to follow it. It's like a calling. And this girl had it. And now people attack her because of videos just like this where she projected success.
So, Nancy, here's what's interesting. That crocheted piece is a piece of art. Okay, so it's not just a beach cover-up, it has beading. Do you know how difficult it is to get beading on a garment? One of my best friends is a clothing designer, so I know all about
Actually,
this. You
no,
have to send it
overseas. I don't know how difficult it is to get beading on a garment, but please, go ahead.
Well, it takes several layers of production. So you have to get the fabric, source the fabric, then you have to send it out somewhere that where they're going to hand sew all the beading on, then you construct it into a garment. But I'm going to ask you this, Nancy. if she were a young starving artist that was putting a painting on Instagram, everybody would be applauding. But because she's a gorgeous woman with a gorgeous product and her artistry is just going around in an unusual way, she's being attacked by all of us. It's what we see again and again, Nancy. The more beautiful the woman, the more she gets attacked.
All of us. Don't throw me in that pot to stew. I'm not attacking her. I'd like to attack whoever is responsible for her death. But, you know, we're showing these beautiful images and talking about her, Dr. Bethany. But back to Lauren Conlon joining me, investigative reporter and star of Pop Crime TV on YouTube. Lauren, today is an overwhelmingly sad day because this young lady has been put to rest with her mother reciting over and over a prayer she normally recited every Tuesday, St. Martha's Prayer for intercession and comfort during adversity. I'm just thinking of the mom and the dad. I mean, my dad, when he would see me when I graduated, when I was trying cases, they would come watch the cases, particularly the worst ones. I remember at Dancing with the Stars, when I didn't get thrown off one night, I looked across the ballroom and my father was crying about what I was going through, right? And I think of this mother back home in a small town putting her daughter, all those hopes, all those dreams, burying her and reciting St. Martha's prayer. The funeral was today, right?
Correct, today. And it was a beautiful funeral per the Irish Independent. It was in a very small town, her hometown of Carlow, Ireland. And they had an American flag and an Irish flag next to her casket. And her boyfriend spoke beautiful words about her, as did her sister, Jackie. She spoke about this unbreakable love that they shared, this sister bond. And to quote Jackie exactly, she said, quote, "You taught me everything I needed to know in life. I didn't always see you, but I always knew you were there." And oh my gosh, I'm about to cry just saying that. But yes, it was a beautiful, beautiful service.
Hello, hello. My name is Martha. I am the founder and CEO of East by East. So East by East, it is a resort wear brand. East by East stands for New York for the Hamptons. Our tagline is built in the city, made for the sun. I absolutely adore it. I think it resonates with so many people on so many levels because I feel at some point everyone in their lives are, you know, grinding that city life, but everyone's just destined for the sun. I know I am, and pretty much everyone else is.
Reminder to all, Dornan has not been charged with anything. And we have no indication he will be charged with anything.
This is a very big yacht club spanning 16 acres, one of the largest marinas in the Hamptons.
You got a guy running around naked,
running around and screaming at the top of his lungs, "That's my girlfriend! That's my girlfriend!"
On a yacht at Ritzy Montauk Yacht Club. This is an elite task force has been formed and called in to investigate Martha's death. What happened on that yacht? When you don't know where to start, I usually start with what I know about the victim. When I don't know a lot about the victim, I look at the timeline. I know that she was talking to her real boyfriend just before she is found dead on the yacht. What more are we learning? Listen.
The task force is made up of district attorney investigators and numerous law enforcement agencies, including East Hampton Town PD, Suffolk County PD, the Suffolk County Sheriff's Office, and New York State Police. The task force's involvement has led to rumors, but sources close to the investigation say nothing has been ruled out.
Homicide detectives are still questioning people close to Martha.
Straight back out to Lauren Collin joining us, investigative reporter and star of Pop Crime TV on YouTube. Lauren, after Dernan, the yacht owner, the guitar-strumming, biting yacht owner, ran naked from the yacht that night, yes, him, what happened then?
Well, police began their investigation, Nancy, and I think, you know, the biggest question here that everybody is trying to figure out is, what is Martha's cause of death here? And as of now, her autopsy report is inconclusive, but her family, they have a second autopsy underway for a second opinion. And just last week, the family attorney came out and said, look, the media is being incredibly irresponsible here by saying that Martha died of an overdose. Everything is inconclusive. The family has actually had a sit down with Suffolk County Homicide. They are doing a deep
dive. You're right. You're talking about Arthur Idala, a longtime colleague. Take a listen to Idala.
Any report going on about her cause of death is just, right now, it's irresponsible. It's just not accurate. It's speculation. We are in touch with the district attorney's office. The family has had a sit down with the Suffolk County homicide detectives. They are doing a deep dive, deep investigation. People still being questioned. There are technological analysis that is still being done.
That's our friend Arthur Idala speaking, and Lauren Conlon managed to chase him down and be there when he gave that statement. Any report regarding COD is just right now irresponsible, not accurate, speculation. Oh, Joseph Scott Morgan, Joe Scott. Professor of Forensics, Jacksonville State University, which has an incredible new building. I was just there for its commemoration for criminal procedure and forensic sciences. Author of Blood Beneath My Feet and star of a hit podcast, Body Bags with Joe Scott Morgan. Joe Scott, don't you just love it when conveniently it turns out to be the victim's fault that she's dead on a yacht at midnight just as she's leaving to catch an Uber to go home to her boyfriend's, to their apartment, and the owner is running around naked? She did not show any signs of an OD, nothing, when she called the boyfriend. Everything was fine. She's like, hey, I'm on the way home. I'm catching an Uber. I'll be there before 1 a.m. And then now she's dead and this naked dude's running around. How convenient to try to suggest it's really her fault she's dead.
Yeah, there's several flies in the proverbial ointment here, Nancy. One of my sources actually revealed to me earlier this week about that there was a white powdery substance found in the salon area of the boat that was on the surface of the bench
seat. I'm sorry, what's the salon area of a yacht? What is the salon?
The salon is like the gathering area. It's almost like a living room. In this boat, it would kind of be, no pun intended, kind of sunken, if you will. So there'd be like bench-like seating in there that's rather plush and comfortable. And one report had come out early on that said there was a white powdery substance found, and implying that that was actually some type of illicit substance. Hey, Nancy, guess what it turned out to be? Fingerprint dust. So there's a lot of unreliable information coming
out.
Okay,
hold on. Stop everything. Stoppy. Hold on. Joe Scott, I need to hear that again.
Yeah.
Will you tell me that one more time? This is extremely significant.
Because there's somebody that has released information about this that is trying to drive the narrative, I think, relative to this. Because we don't have anything back from the lab. We don't have anything back regarding any contents were found on the vessel itself, where they were testing anything out there. Also, we don't have tox. Nancy, you and I have been doing this for a long time. We know that toxicology results take a long time. And listen, it doesn't matter what kind of priority we might think the case has to have. It doesn't mean you're going to get bumped up in the line for a postmortem examination as far as tox goes at the state crime lab. So we have to wait and see what's going on. People are jumping to a lot of wild conclusions here. And let me just put it out there. The ME is saying that there is no trauma visible. That's at least their initial statement to her remains. So this remains a mystery.
What were you saying about fingerprint dust?
Yeah. Yeah. So on the bench itself in the salon, there was dust on the surface of it. People were actually saying early on that this was some type of unidentified substance, actually implying that it was some type of drug residue. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, at least at this point. But what has been confirmed is that that was actually fingerprint dust. So we do know that crime scene elements were out there dusting the surfaces, looking for any kind of latent prints that might have been in that area or adjacent to her or on any number of the surfaces inside this vessel.
Listen.
Photos taken after Martha was found dead show a white powdery substance scattered across the seat on the vessel. The Suffolk County Police Department has not determined cause of death.
Exactly what Joe Scott Morgan is talking about. I want to go out, before I follow up on COD, I want to go out to a veteran trial lawyer. You know him well, Matthew Mangino. I call him Last Meal Mangino because he wrote a book called The Executioner's Toll, Crimes, Arrests, Trials, Appeals, Last Meals, 46 people across the U.S. Matthew, one, thank you for being with us tonight. Two, it's almost as if someone is going out of their way to suggest this young girl died of an OD. They couldn't possibly know that. There was no mention of a substance on her face, around her nose or mouth. This substance, we've been told earlier to suggest there was a cocaine overdose, is turning out at this juncture anyway to be fingerprint powder. Plus, when I saw a photo of the scene, and I'll go to you on this in a moment, Lauren Conlon, the powder that I saw was on the seat where you sit, which is not commonly where people snort up coke, right? They're usually sitting down when they snort up coke, and you often see it like on a coffee table or a flat surface that they can hold or something in front of them. They don't get down on the floor on their knees to snort coke off the seat where they were just sitting. So when I saw that, it just went against every crime scene I've ever processed. So who would be going to this great length to put it out there that she died of an OD?
Well, Nancy, someone's always trying to control the narrative in situations like this. And, you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting is Joe Scott Morgan just pointed out is that the medical examiner said there was no trauma. There was no violence involved in this, but that doesn't mean anything because this case is far from being resolved. We know we need to get toxicology back in terms of the cause of death in this particular instance, but we also need to look at, you know, what's available in terms of criminal statutes in the state of New York. You know, you can be prosecuted simply for furnishing drugs to somebody who ultimately dies. You know, whether it's manslaughter or it's negligent homicide, there's a lot of different directions this case can go, even though there's no trauma physically to the victim. You know, how did she die? What caused her death? And who had a role in causing her death?
Yeah, you know, I'm very curious about everything that you just said. So let's go to the source, Joseph Scott Morgan. There's no obvious sign of trauma. Okay, that is neither here nor there. She could still, when you look at a dead body, for instance, if she had been suffocated, you wouldn't really know that until you examine the petechiae in the eye. Now, a manual or ligature strangulation, you might see marks on the neck, or maybe not. But just off the top of my head, with an asphyxiation, say with a pillow, let's just go with that. You couldn't look at the body and tell what had happened.
Not in every case. Sometimes with suffocation or smothering, you will get presentations of petechiae, but they're rarer in those cases as opposed to some kind of manual strangulation. Nancy, I got to tell you one of the things that's, first off, if I can just say this, I am amazed at the number of resources, and I think you probably are too, whether you're not admitting it or not, the number of resources they're throwing at this thing. If you're looking at an indication of how high on the priority this is for law enforcement.
Yeah. Joe Scott.
Yes,
trust
ma'am.
Me. It's not about her. It's about the Hamptons. Have you ever been to the Hamptons?
Yes.
I only got invited a couple of times, but yeah. I was definitely a dog upstairs. You know, you're somewhere where you know you're not supposed to be, and you're really not good enough to be there. So you have to go back downstairs. It just it's not
like
comfortable.
I felt like the country
that's because this is the Hamptons, and everybody's nutting up. This guy Dornan, he's not accused of anything. For all I know, he was just strumming the guitar butt naked, and she keeled over from brain cancer. For all I know, I'm not an MD. I'm not a death investigator like Joe Scott Morgan. I don't know what happened. But I can tell you this. When an elite task force is assembled from multi-jurisdictional agencies, that doesn't happen every day. Again, we have no reason to charge or accuse Dornan with any drug-related activity. Okay. All of his yacht neighbors said he was always, quote, messed up. That could be on alcohol or it could be completely false. That's what they said. I haven't cross-examined them. I don't know if they're telling the truth. So he stands innocent and uncharged, completely innocent and uncharged at this moment. All I really know about him is he's a biter.
Growing up, Martha studies commerce at university before earning a master's in digital marketing from the Smurfit Business School, describing herself as the small town girl who needed to get out to achieve her big dreams. Martha says fashion is a tough industry and it would be a slow road. At 26, she leaves her small town and relocates to New York City.
Martha begins launching pop-up events to promote her summer wear fashion label, East by East, in the Hamptons and quickly gains recognition.
We had our first retail location pop-up in Montauk, in the Montauk Beach House. And yeah, we'll be going back there this summer, so you will see us there. We'll be doing some brand activations, some brand partnerships, some like wellness stuff, and we'll also, of course, throw some parties, some pool parties, with really cool DJs. So yeah, stay tuned for that.
Reminder to all, Dornan has not been charged with anything. And we have no indication he will be charged with anything.
It is exclusive. It is wealthy. Everybody knows everybody.
You're not just wealthy. You're mega wealthy.
They want to keep it as clean as possible. They do not want their dirty laundry aired.
Designer drugs.
There's a lot of money out there.
White glove service.
They have to keep the property values up. They have to keep the money flowing out.
It's so exclusive. Even most New Yorkers don't know what happens behind that facade.
And joining us now, special guest Ron Bateman, former sheriff and Arundel County, former homicide undercover narcotics detective, author of a crime trilogy, Silent Blue Tears. Ron, thank you for being with us. I've been waiting for your analysis. Hit me.
Well, I think as the police sink their teeth into this case, no pun intended, I think there's a couple things that are going to be really revealing. The first is, of course, toxicology, which we have talked about a lot. But I think also this is going to key, which is going to guide the investigation, is once they got Dornan, who I'm not accusing either, got his clothes on, got him situated at the station and talked to him, really curious to see how he lays out the timeline, what happened.
Again, he's not charged with anything.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Matt Mangino, come on, man. You're the veteran defense attorney. You got a gorgeous young girl dead. And this old guy running around butt naked screaming, that's his girlfriend. If there was not any sex activity planned, then why is he running around naked?
Well, there's a lot we still don't know. Again, he's naked. Do we know whether the victim was clothed when they came there and the neighbors tried to resuscitate?
I just told you she's clothed.
Okay, then she's clothed. But again, is you know, can we insinuate from these circumstances? Sure, he's a strange dude, and he does some weird things, and he knows this woman, obviously, the victim, because he's loaned her money for her business. You know, why is he naked? You know, he has to explain that to police. That's something that the police, in terms of this investigation, not only talking to him, but other people. We also know that there may be other people in this boat. If there was a fingerprint.
Really? That's the first I've heard of it. Did somebody tell you someone else was there?
Why would the police be checking for fingerprints on a counter? What are they looking for?
Because they do on every single crime scene that ever existed once they learned what fingerprints were.
Right. And well, they're looking for somebody else. They're trying to determine if somebody else. You don't need the fingerprints of the victim and the person who owns the boat if he's there to determine whether or not.
You know, you really are something.
You're looking for somebody else.
You're amazing. Because if they didn't take fingerprints, the first thing I would hear out of last meal, Matt Mangino, is they didn't take fingerprints. They're horrible. Of course they're taking fingerprints. I mean, but I admire the way you did that. I've got a question. Have you ever been on Dancing with the Stars? Because you are an amazing dancer. You dance around every question I've been asking you. The way you got out of why is he naked at that time of the night with her fully clothed, if it wasn't sexually intent, there were no sex intentions on his part. I mean, your answer was, they'll have to ask him that. I'm asking you, Mangino. Why? Take a leap of logic. Let's follow it through to its logical conclusion. She's completely clothed and he's buck naked.
Hey, maybe he was getting in the shower while she was sitting there and all of a sudden he discovers that she's laying on the ground unconscious. First thing he's going to do is run for help. This wasn't a guy that tried to hide it. He's throwing bottles at his neighbor's
boat. Wait a minute. What did you just say? I need that in slow-mo. Maybe he was getting in the shower and what? What did you say? Please go full on him. I've got to see every aspect of his demeanor.
Well, he's about to get in the shower. She's about to leave. And, of course, he finds her laying unconscious on the floor. And he runs out naked looking for help. He wasn't hiding. He didn't go back in the shower. He didn't go to bed. He went for help. He's trying to save this woman who's unconscious.
Okay. Joe Scott, please help me. I my chest is hurting right now. Did you hear that?
Yes, I heard it.
And?
What kind of assistance would you like? I mean, listen.
Well, other than CPR, I mean, maybe he was in the shower and came out and found her dead?
Yeah, well, Matt's doing what defense attorneys do, all right? You're right. He is dancing. He's waltzing at this point in time. The reality is this. I can't imagine a person that is not certainly in an intimate relationship with her presenting himself nude as she is laying on the floor. No towel. You're going to run out of the place and you're naked running up and down the walkway that's adjacent to where these vessels are moored, I think is kind of odd. Now, I've had, you know, people that have been finders, we refer to them as finders of body, and they'll react in any manner of way when you get there. But the idea that he would run out of this thing like his hair is on fire and screaming at the top is actually throwing things at people. It seems like, I don't know, unreasonable, unexpected behavior from a grown man. And he's, you know, yeah, there's certain ways to summon help. Was there anybody else on the vessel? I think that is a good question. I think that fingerprints can be used in order to assess that. We can also look for DNA. I'd like to know who else's DNA is on
that
boat.
Disagree.
Oh, yeah?
Disagree. Joe Scott, they're going to find all sorts of fingerprints on that yacht. That doesn't mean those people were on the yacht.
No, it doesn't.
We haven't heard anything about other people on the yacht at the time she died.
Right. But if this is a big mystery, which it is right now, you're going to have to go down the list to exclude these people if they are in the fingerprint database. Same thing with DNA, because it has been implied, even by Matt, that this could be
in the fingerprint database. Why I love you. Like all these rich people
NCIS.
Out in the Hamptons are going to be in the database?
No.
No.
Well, oh, well, I'm just remembering what Lauren said. Lauren said they made a major drug bust last year. I guarantee you some of those damn people that were out in the Hamptons, they're in the database now. I bet you donuts on that. So I'm not, I don't care how rich you are.
Good point.
I'm not including you.
Okay. So Ron Bateman, I can, having prosecuted many, many drug cases, more than I can even count, I guarantee you the people, the mules carrying the dope and flying the little Cessnas, they don't live in the Hamptons, okay?
No, no.
They probably don't even live in this country. They're mules, you know, donkeys that carry drugs and deliver to the rich people in the Hamptons. And when I say rich people, think extravagant parties, lavish lifestyle, over the top. What kind of party am I talking about? A party like this.
Before his fall from grace, Diddy lived an incredibly lavish lifestyle, showcased best by his elaborate parties. Combs started hosting his famous white parties in 1998, and they quickly became the place to be on Labor Day, an invite reinforcing your status in the entertainment industry. The parties have been hosted in the Hamptons, Beverly Hills, and even St. Tropez, France. Many have called Combs a modern-day Gatsby, a nickname he relished.
Oh, please, a modern-day Gatsby. Modern-day Gatsby is cooling his rear end behind bars right now on prostitution charges. My point is, that was the party, Ron Bateman, where all of these rich people out in the Hamptons were eating sushi off a naked lady who was served up like she was an appetizer and her naked body was covered in sushi, and they were eating off of her body. Okay, there's a lot I could say about that, but people are expendable. Just like the naked lady that was a serving tray. Just like the people that bring the drugs in, the designer drugs for people in the Hamptons. Montauk being the most elite section of the Hamptons. So I don't know whose fingerprints you're going to find there. But that said, of course they take fingerprints. Of course those people need to be ruled out if they can be identified. Goes without saying.
Yeah, it's lavish lifestyles. But you made a good point. Fingerprints are also great to rule out people. That's one of the benefits of fingerprints. But I think the key thing is here, his Ray Justi statement where he comes out naked, sees my girlfriend, she's my girlfriend. Wishful thinking there, bud. No, she's not, never will be. Maybe you want her to be because you've invested, you know, a crap ton of money into her business, but no, that'll never happen. It never will happen, obviously. But yeah, that's just something that's really key. That's a tell-all to me that, or not a tell-all, but it's a real telling statement, you know, where he's shouting, she's my girlfriend. That's just ridiculous.
Reminder to all, Dornan has not been charged with anything. And we have no indication he will be charged with anything. If you know or think you know anything about Martha's death, have you heard something? Did you see something? Have you heard from somebody who heard from somebody? Anything you could tell us. The investigation is ongoing. Tip line 631-852-6396. Repeat, 631-852-6396. We wait as justice unfolds for Martha. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.